on something that I've referenced many times in the 40 years of preaching that I've done. I just want to reference this one scripture again. You've heard me. If you've been around me long enough, you've heard me reference Psalm 121, the Song of Ascents, many times. The sense of the Lord pressing my spirit this week to speak this, I got excited about it because it means so much to me, this particular psalm. Psalm 91 and Psalm 121 are psalms that I just love to quote and love to read and embrace the blessings that comes with that. So read along with me, and I'm going to speak this morning a message entitled, Lord, I am looking. Lord, I am looking. Psalm 121, 1 through 8. I will lift up my eyes to the hills of Jerusalem. For where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber briefly nor sleep soundly. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. Everything that you do from this time forth and forever. That was the Amplified version I read it out of because I really loved the part where it designated what hills the psalmist was talking about. And then the idea of never or neither slumber briefly, nor sleep soundly. It reminded me of when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And Peter and James and John were hanging out by the tree sleeping. And he came to them three times and just mentioned to them, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And, you know, it wasn't really a downcasting from the Lord to those men that walked with him. But it was almost a command. If you would think, don't you know I want you to pray? Don't you know that I need you to pray with me? Don't you know that through prayer, things are going to happen? But it reminds me also to the effect that oftentimes we forget God. Not meaningfully, but we forget God on who he is in our life and how he is always there for us. Now hear me, I want you to really absorb that he's always there. He's always taking notice of who we are, what we think, and what our words say. He's always taking notice of that. And I really believe that what we need to always remember is that he is always there to protect us and our families, and everything that he does in our life is important. From the smallest blessing that you could maybe think of, to the largest blessing that you've ever received from the Lord. From the promise that's in your heart, to the destiny that he's given you. From the healing touch that he gave you when you were ill one day, to the provision of food on your table that you needed at a time of a struggle, when you were going through something that was just difficult and you needed help. He's always there. He cares for you and I in such a way that it's really indescribable. It's monumental. It's awesome to think that the creator of the heavens and the earth literally is always thinking about us. Jesus, in Hebrews 7 and 25, is forever interceding for us. We have this ability sometimes to forget God, or we don't recognize God when he's there. But God's grace covers us because he knows who we are and how important it is that we do remember him in these times of struggle, in the times of difficulty, in the times of overwhelming circumstances, in the times where you ask God, God, why am I going through this? Or can you ever forgive me, God? You know, there are people in this world. You have family members. I have family members. We have friends. You have friends. You have acquaintances. I have acquaintances that go through things, and we wonder, why did you choose to do that when God was right there? And they think the same thing. Why did I choose to do this after they're going through it and they've gone through a struggle when God was right there? You see, in a time of trouble, one seeks to find promise, protection, and prosperity. To be consoled and comforted. Brought to that place where the help is lasting and foundational. Boy, that's what you need. That one sentence there, those sentences literally speak into your heart that, you know, when I'm going through something, this is what I need. I need promise, protection, prosperity. You know, not every time you hear the word prosperity, because really what's happened in the gospel in the later years that we've been going through since the late 70s and early 80s, it began to be birthed, this whole prosperity message that every time you hear prosperity, you think money. It's not what it is. Prosperity, health. Prosperity, wisdom. Prosperity, knowledge. Prosperity in the gifts of the Spirit. Prosperity in spiritual health. So we find this going on in our life, and we find that we really do need to be consoled and comforted. Think about this, how many times when you've been going through something. And let me use myself as an example. Where you're going through something and someone comes to your rescue that's a friend and consoles you and comforts you, prays with you. Someone comes and gives you a word from the Lord and it's just the words you needed to hear. There's comfort in that. You get consoled. You feel good. You feel like, okay, God's hearing me. Because we're human beings, we think sometimes that we're walking on water, or our ability to go above everybody else is there. It's not true. We're human beings. We still live on this earth. We sleep and we wake. We need food. Our feet are attached to the ground when we walk. We still go through struggles. And we need help. It doesn't mean you don't have a renewed mind. It doesn't mean that you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost of the living God. It doesn't mean that you do not have a great faith. It doesn't mean that you do not read God's word and that you've memorized the promises of God. It simply means that you have a part of you that's human that literally goes through things on this cursed earth that where we live. And we need Jesus every day. We need a blessing from the Lord every day. We need something from God that we could recognize and react to the Lord and his deep concern for his children and his creation. I'm so glad God recognizes us. I'm so glad that God heard each and every one of our singular prayers of salvation. I'm glad that we didn't have to go to the altar and say, so-and-so, 2,000 years ago, after Jesus died on the cross, prayed a general prayer for all of us, and I'm claiming that right now. I'm glad that when we came before the cross of Calvary, in the imagery of that we surrendered our heart to the Lord with great faith and knowledge that he is God's only begotten Son and the Savior of the world. And as we confessed our sins, they were rinsed from our heart and we were born again. And we became the sons and the daughters of God the Father. We were brought into his family by the Spirit of adoption. And whereby we can cry out to him in our times of need or in prayer, Abba, Father. And we became joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How marvelous when you think about those blessings that come our way, and how wonderful it is to realize that His deep love and compassion would surround us with righteousness and grace. That's what we're surrounded by today. That's what you woke up to this morning. You woke up into the righteousness of God and into the grace, His unmerited favor today. You've been touched by who He is. You've been blessed by who He is. It's by grace we have been saved through faith. And it's a gift from God. It's not on our works that that happened, lest we would boast. It's beautiful to know that He is always working in us and will continue to the day of the Lord. It's wonderful to realize that we put on Jesus Christ every day. We are clothed with the righteousness of God every day. And if we would remember these things, even through the struggle that we may go through, or that you will go through, or that maybe you are just coming through, be reminded that His grace and His righteousness is with you all the time. To Him we give glory, and it is Him we seek in these times. I don't seek anything else. That's why He was speaking there. He asked the question in verse 1. It's a question. He said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills of Jerusalem. From where shall my help come? He's looking. He's looking. Where am I going to get this help? I'm in trouble. Who do I dial in our modern day? Or who do I text? Who do I Facebook, or who do I instant message? Who do I Twitter? Who do I Snapchat? Who do I Vine? Who do I literally Instagram at this particular time in my life? What happens here? What goes on here? What's going on? Who is going to come to my aid? And he says right there, my help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Wow. My help comes from Him. He made that. There is an ascent in prayer and praise that will always draw you near to Him. So when you begin in prayer in your daily devotion or your beginning in the day, when you begin in prayer, you start off at a level of, okay, here I am, God. And you begin to ascend into the throne room of grace. You begin to enter boldly into that throne room. You begin to get closer as you pray. You sense this closeness to God, who is always that close. Now remember, it's our humanity that makes us feel far away from God. He never withdraws from us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible's very clear about that, that we carry around an earthen treasure in us to share with other people, that we can pour out into their lives about Jesus Christ. Just our design as a Christian is simply put like this. We represent Jesus Christ. We are the ambassadors for God on this earth. We have been reconciled unto Him. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And every day we renew that freshness with God through prayer. And we begin an ascent to Him. We begin to move up with Him. We begin to draw closer to Him. And even in worship, if a worship leader would be able to stand here, which I'm not a worship leader, but I am a pastor and I am a preacher, and I've talked to many worship leaders, they will say to you when they begin the worship of that morning, oftentimes they start and they have to bring the church to an ascent under the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And as worship continues on, they say it gets better. It begins to grow and people begin to be more involved, because what happens is as you worship God, things begin to fall off from you and you draw close to God. You see, and the things of this world grow dim as you grow closer to the brightness of His glory. You see, what we have to understand is that there is something great about knowing that God is there for us 24/7. I love that. I love to know that He's there, and I'm glad He's there. But again, we all of us, come into this place sometimes where we just sit down and say, where are you, God? Elijah did it. He just ran like crazy from Jezebel, and he went sat by a river, and the first words out of his mouth, you know, or almost the first words out of his mouth was this: kill me, God, I'm no better than my fathers. I mean, come on now. He just did a miracle, and he's asking God to kill him. So there's a great analogy there, or comparison of what we're like as human beings. We simply go through stuff, and we just all of a sudden realize the stuff is overcoming us. Can you say amen? There are times in our life where stuff just overcomes us. I mean, I could give some quick examples. Some of you are successful at work. Things are going really great on your bivocational work. Or if that's all you're serving in the kingdom is on your work, and you're a great church attender and a great supporter of the church through prayer, through fasting, through giving, through attendance. But all of a sudden you go to work one day and they look at you and say, I'm laying you off. The first thing that registers in your mind is, oh God. But then after that, the oh God comes, how am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my car payment? How am I going to be able to continue to dress as nice as I dress? What am I going to have to do? How am I going to fix my hair? What am I going to do? Where am I? What's going to happen here? There's no food and I got bills and I just committed to a purchase of something and I have no way to pay it. You see, we fall so quickly into the burdens that are laid upon us. And that's why, can I speak to your heart for a minute? That's why oftentimes we got to be careful. And that's why it says, the Bible says in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, that we need to consider others better than ourselves. Because what we can often do sometimes is we can unload on somebody instead of unloading on God. Now it's okay if you unload, just don't bury him and leave him for dead. Amen? You follow what I'm saying to you is, you know, you get so burdened. But Jesus said, come to me, you that are heavy laden and need rest. And he said, I will give you that rest. I will give it to you. You'll see that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll see those things start to happen through prayer and praise. You begin to take this ascent up to the Lord and things begin to go good for you. The nearness cannot be explained in words or deeds, which I just tried to explain it, but you really can't grasp it, but only by faith and trust in an everlasting Father. You really are able to embrace what I just said in this last 10 minutes by faith and trust in God. I mean, I want you to think today on your own how much faith you have in God. How much faith do you have in God? I'll answer for myself. I have all the faith that I can put together to even come to the pulpit and preach, to lead and serve at the same time, to understand His Word and what it really means to me as I read it and when I speak it. You see, when I preach the gospel, I'm speaking to myself. When I put these messages together and fast and pray for this, and I'm putting it together, I'm going, oh my God, I got to adjust to this. Oh man, I'm off here too. You know, the whole thing. Because preachers are just human beings. We're people that God has put this anointing on. And we just have to deal with that. But the point being is that you have to understand how much faith do you have in God? Now listen, let me bring it down home a little bit easier so you can grab it and I can grab it and everybody else that may be watching on Facebook can grab it is this. The question is really is, when I go through something, how close do I draw to God or how close do I draw away from God? That's really the question. And I'm not being condescending and I'm certainly not trying to make someone feel less than. It's classic to when all of a sudden things start hitting left and right, left and right, left and right, left and right. No one cares, it seems. You're not there. You're going through something. I remember I was going through something so bad one day. So bad, I was really low. I mean, I think I was lower than I've ever been in my life. And I called a friend on the phone and I said, you know, I wanted to call you because I really believe you have a word for me. And he said, Dennis, I don't have a word for you. And now I can appreciate his honesty several years later. But when I first heard that, I went, oh my Lord. I needed somebody to speak to me. He said, why don't you read this book? And the last thing in my mind, I said, is the last thing I want to do is read a book right now. I need somebody to speak into my life. You see, we come to this place, and you know the greatest person to speak into your life is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Speak to me, God. Help me, God. Let me hear what you have to say. And you know, when Elijah said that to God, God did not kill him. He helped him. He came to his aid with food, with water. And then he comes to his aid over and over and over again and calls him to do great things. So right now, if you're going through something, and you think that you're at that creek, easier to understand terminology. Wasn't a river, it was a creek. And it looks like it's getting drier and you're getting thirstier, and the ravens bringing less and you're getting hungrier. Then all of a sudden you're finding yourself maybe in a cave somewhere and you're feeling all alone. I mean, you've just gone through it. God shows up in all sorts of descriptions, and the only thing that he hears there is the silent, still, small voice of the God that he serves, our God, the creator of heaven and the earth. And he anoints him to go down now into the world, into the valleys, into where the labor should be, and to anoint kings and to call Elijah to come forward now. To anoint. So sometimes when we're going through these struggles, we need to understand that God wants to securely make known to us that he is going to be with us at all times. This is a psalm of consolation wherein the psalmist from his own experience exhorts the godly to constancy of faith. And to an expectation of help and defense from God. That's what Martin Luther said. To have that. This is a psalm that we can console with. I read Psalm 121 all the time. Psalm 91, I lean on. There's 18 blessings and 16 verses that are just awesome to me. I pray those psalms over my grandchildren and over my family, over my wife, my sons, my daughter. I pray them over you because they're beautiful blessings that, man, give them to me. You know, no evil shall befall you and no plague shall come near your dwelling. Give it to me, Lord. No, 1,000 to your left and 10,000 to your right. Give them to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Give me the blessings. Let me abide under the shadow of your pinions, of your wing, God. Let me just be there. Let me be blessed by you. Boy, that's what we need to understand is what's being said there. So what we find in verses 1 and 2 is this. First of all, recognition. That's what we have to look at. There's a recognition there that we have to understand. Affirmation equals desire with expectation. Praise God. We're affirmed. Where can I find the help? Answer, my help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, a friend of mine is a pastor, and he pastors a very large church, about 20,000 people. And literally, he says he's not a counselor. He lets everybody know that he's a counselor. But sometimes people come into the office, and they just want to talk to him. So he doesn't deny them, but what he has is a Bible there. And when he comes in, they say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He hands them the Bible and says, read this. Now, he explains to them, I'm not trying to be cold or brass, or I care for you, and I want to pray with you. But if you really want answers, your help comes from the Lord. And he does have trained psychologists on staff to be able to take those people that are in deep depression and really bad pain, marital breakups, whatever it may be, the loss of a family member, however it may be, whatever, loss of a job, whatever it may be, they're there to help. But he really wants to let people know, as the Bible wants us to know, that our help comes from God. That's where it really comes from. It really does. It comes from God. You know, when I was managing Berean Christian Bookstore in San Jose, California, during the mission work that I was doing in Santa Cruz, it was so funny because I would look at all these books that people would be buying and selling. I mean, books, shelves of books. And I always would joke in my mind, everybody's running in and buying the next hottest sale book of this person and this author. And I would think, you know where they're getting their ideas from? The Bible. Read the Bible. Now, I think authoring a book is outstanding, and I would love to author in very near future. But I'm understanding that the first thing that I must understand before I write or before anybody else writes is they need to know the Word of God. Because you can steer somebody off the wrong path if you're not quoting the Word properly. So you need to realize that. So there's this recognition then. I'm recognizing that God is my help. I have this affirmation now, and I desire an expectation. I really have desire and expectation in my life. I have a desire to be close to God, and I have an expectation that the closer I draw to God, the closer He's drawing to me, and I'm just going to be blessed by His presence. Isn't that why we come to church, to be blessed by God's presence? Amen. And that's what really happens, you know. Have you ever asked anybody, they say, well, how'd your church go today? Oh, God was really there. You know, what they're really saying is church was great. We worshiped. We had the Word. Everything was beautiful. But really, for me, God was just there in my heart. He answered some prayers for me. Verses 3 through 8, we find assurance. First, affirmation, verses 1 and 2. Then 3 through 8, assurance. The whole rest of it is words of assurance. God's guardianship and protection. Oh, I love knowing that there's angels protecting us, believe me. I love knowing that we are asleep at home at night and there are angels protecting us. I understand and I believe that. I believe that there's angels over every church that worships. And just as we worship, they carry the praise up to God. I just believe that. That may sound silly to you, but allow me to be a little silly in a few statements here, because I just simply believe that. I believe that there's angels that go in the cars with us and protect us. I believe that the only time we get in an accident is because we're not listening to what God's saying or watching our phone. You know, I'm being facetious there. But the point is that we have to understand that there is a God who really loves us, and He is our guardian. He is our protector. He's our covering. He's our path that we walk along. He's the walls that surround us. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, and He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And may I just add this, He sure does know what He's doing. He sure does know how to bless and keep us. Even when we think we're not being kept, He keeps us. I mean, study Psalm 23. It's not a funeral psalm. It's a psalm of protection and praise and recognition and thankfulness and what God does for us in times of great struggle. He's always there. I'll tell you, when you're in the valley of decision, which is the darkest valley that you could possibly ever go in, a decision valley, people come to me and say, I'm in the valley of decision. This is what I say. There ain't nothing I can do about it. I wish I could go in there. I've been there too many times. Matter of fact, I've got a room in the Valley of Decision. And literally, you know, you go through this Valley of Decision and you're going through this and you're asking God. And it's always amazing when you're in the Valley of Decision, God is silent. I've prayed to God, God, you know I'm here. I've been here for several weeks, by the way. You know, I've knocked on the door. I'm here, God, you know. I've sat there and listened. I've done everything I've known that I've been taught to do. My spiritual father's taught me. And what I've read in the Bible, I've done all the actions, activities, and you're still silent. And it comes to a decision that we have to make for God to respond. It's a tough thing, but He's always there. Always there. Decisions, if you'll admit this to yourself. Now, there are some people say, oh, it's easy for me to make a decision. Well, God bless you. You know, God bless you. Come rub my shoulders after service, you know, just let me know. Rub a little of that anointing on me or whatever. But, you know, it's hard for me to make decisions. Now, I can make decisions on your life. Just ask me after church. But on your own personal life is what I'm saying. It's difficult. But God's there. He's always there. And he's protecting us. He's overshadowing us. And then thirdly, the response. It's up to us. Prayer and praise. Faith and trust in the Lord. Spend every day in prayer. Spend every day in praise. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for your enemies. Praise God. Lift up your hands in your home or in wherever, if you're there somewhere and you can take time in a park or at lunch break. Just praise him. If you don't want to be as bold as I am, a lot of times the people drive by my house and I'm in the middle of the driveway and my hands are up in the air like that. I don't know if they're thinking I'm exclaiming something like, look at the helicopter. You know, I don't know what it is, but I am just praising God. I'm out there at 3 o'clock in the morning looking up at the stars, thanking God for the beauty. You think you don't do that? Oh, yes, I do. My dogs are asleep. My wife's asleep. My kids are asleep. My grandkids are asleep. Everybody's asleep but me. But I'm out there praising God. Would I be asleep? Yeah, if I could. I'm making the best out of being awake. So make the best out of your time of being awake. If you're at the park, you don't want to do that publicly. Just sit there and pray. You're in the office. Once in a while, just say, I want to thank you right now, God, before I go on any further with my day. Just praise him. Respond to him. Show him just who you are in him. Didn't that song say that today? I'm who I am because of who he is. Amen. And that's what it's really all about. And let me go over just a few more scriptures with you as I bring this to a close. And I've already quoted a little bit of them here, but Psalms 91:1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes. Wow. What's the first thing you got to do? You got to dwell there. You got to get into the secret place. What I was explaining to you earlier, you got to ascend into that secret place of the Most High, and you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know that demons flee by the name of Jesus Christ? God spread out all that we can possibly see, every galaxy, every star, he's named them all. And he thinks upon you and I. Wow. He's almighty. In other words, almighty means there's no one more mightier than him. He's almighty. Psalm 125:2. I love this. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Wow. Is that amazing? As the mountains. And if you ever see what Jerusalem looks like, it's surrounded. Mountains. How cool is that? And he literally is, he surrounds his people. And guess what, folks? We are his people. We're part of a great group of people called the church. We are grafted onto a great group of people called the Jews, the Israelites. We're grafted onto them. Read Galatians. It'll tell you that we're grafted on, and a graft is greater than the actual growth. We are stronger there. We're Gentiles, and yet God has considered us. He said in the Bible, there will be a people who know me not that shall call upon my name. That's you and I. We've been grafted on, and this is forever he's going to surround us. And I love this. And this is my closing verse. Psalm 115:11-15. I just love it so much. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now listen, I'm going to reread this. Can I play a little bit with the scripture here without tarnishing it, but to bless you? You, put your name there, who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. The Bible said he's the lifter of our head and a shield about us. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of me. He will bless me. He will bless the house of the Adams. He will bless the house of the Oliveras. He will bless the house of the Schoenrocks. He will bless the house of the Thompson. He will bless the house of those. He will bless your house. He will bless your home. He will bless the house of the Durrets. He will bless the house of the Shadrach. He will definitely do that. He will be there with them and he will bless them. And he will do that. Amen. And he will bless the house of the Woodalls. He will bless those people. He will bless those. He will just bless the homes of all those that are part of him. Now let me move on here. He will bless the house of your cousins. He will bless the house of those that make up your family that no longer live in your home. He will bless the priests of your home that may be in ministry. He will bless them. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. You see, this society we live in presses us to think success makes us better than somebody else. It does not. That's an unfair God. We are equal in the eyes of God. There's no color in heaven but saved. I'll never forget that. When I heard that speaker speak in the Church of God in Christ, preaching a beautiful, anointed message. And he said, someone asked me one day, what color's in heaven? He leaned over the pulpit, was silent for a moment's time. This seemed like a few moments longer than you would suspect. Looked across everybody as close as he could get across that pulpit. He said, the color is saved. You see, we don't get all caught up in that with God. When we're with God, we get caught up in the blessings, the equality, the normality of his great love, and the strength of his guardianship and protection. There is no separation of people. Amen. He loves us. He cares for us. He cares so deeply for us. So whether you're small or great, whether you're a small family or a large family, whether you work in a large corporation or a small corporation or a small business or a home business, it's okay. And whether you belong to a small church or a large church, God will bless. You know, we feel like that today in the church world. It's such a competitive world that if the church is running 200 or 300, God's blessing them more. No. That's human thought. God blesses where we are, pours into our heart and loves us. May the Lord give me increase. May the Lord give you increase. May the Lord give you more and more. For you, for me, and your children, your grandchildren. You know, I have children, and I want them to be blessed. I want them to be highly anointed. These are my prayers for them. I want them to have a destiny that they will bring thousands of people into the kingdom of God. Are they there yet? No, not right now. But I'm believing for it. I'm trusting for it. I want God to do it. But God has designed my children the way they're going to turn out. They have to make the choices to follow God in what He wants them to do or follow the world. You cannot change that. You can talk to them. You can tell them. You can express to them. One of the greatest things one of my children said to me one day is this: Dad, I know that I'm out there. I know that I'm not living for God the way you want me to. But you and Mom live a life that is so good that I'm able to look back and I can see the standard that I have to reach for when I begin to walk with God. You see, you and I are really this great advertisement for the kingdom. I mean, you don't want everybody to look at you. It's not like that. But you want to say, hey, guys, take a look. This is good stuff. It's fun to be a Christian. It's fun to live for God. It's fun to be blessed. Yeah. The Lord promises to preserve our movements. Wow. From morning to evening, from infancy to old age, from this time forth and forevermore, He blesses us. As I'm closing this at this moment, I want you to think about the many blessings that God has brought into your life. Secondly, the many blessings that were unrecognizable at first. They almost looked like they were not a blessing. Matter of fact, they were quite distant from a blessing, but from that came a blessing. You see, God's mind is not our mind. And the Bible says His mind is much higher than us. His thoughts are much higher than us. His words are much powerful than ours. But they come down like rain and like snow, and they go where He sends them, and they always return to Him full of praise. They're never void. We get void. We do. We say things that we wish we would have never said. Come on, somebody say that, all right? We respond out of high octane emotion sometimes. If you're like me, it's high octane emotion. Okay? Some folks are very mellow. They're very calm. The loudest they ever scream is like a whisper, you know, and you're like, what'd you say? You know, yeah. And people are right going, that's me. I'm going, you know. And then there's those folks that just want to act like they're not like that. But anyhow, but in all reality, folks, we need to understand that God has us in the palm of His hand and no man can pluck us out. We are covered by the Lord. Yahweh's protection moves with the psalmist. The Yahweh is not just a hangout or a hideout, but a bodyguard. He watches out for us 100%. Wow. He's there for us 100%. Constantly, aggressively trying to get our attention. In Jesus' name.